Please stand by. We're about to begin. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Securing and Recovering Your Business Data with Tivoli Storage Products. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. This teleconference will show you how to monitor and analyze storage performance in order to respond quickly to storage-related issues. With Tivoli Storage Solutions and tools for data backup and recovery, you can have more resilient infrastructure and protect your company's data. The speakers for today's teleconference are Kevin Hosozawa, Omegamon Program Manager, Tivoli Software, and Ron Ratcliffe, MainStar Software Corp, Product Manager, Backup, and Recovery Manager Suite. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, Mr. Kevin Hosozawa. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you for that introduction. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody who's on the call to come listen and see this particular session, which is called Securing and Recovering Your Business Data with Tivoli Storage Products. So let's go on to slide 2, which is the agenda. And with the agenda, we'll take a quick overview of the IBM Tivoli Storage Solution benefits, followed by an introduction of the IBM Tivoli Zeist Storage Initiative. And then finally getting on to Ron's section of the securing and recovering of your business data, followed lastly by some questions. So let's go on to slide 3. Slide 3, your system's Z storage management solution benefits. When we talk about all the different storage solutions that IBM Tivoli has, it comes with a large breadth and depth of information and capabilities in the Z storage management arena. First being able to solve system Z storage management issues such as space, performance, HSM issues, catalog issues, your offline storage tape, your cart drives, your libraries, being able to avoid problems, being able to take a look at the resources out there and see how they're doing. We also can help you in terms of reducing problems. The solutions that we'll talk about have the capability of some very precise alerts, allowing you to tailor these type of alerts to your environment. You also, by having that, have the capability of avoiding any type of problems. And you can automate actions based upon the type of alerts that you receive. We also can provide a certain amount of being able to maximize the efficiency of how you particularly manage your storage environment, whether or not it's something as far as reducing the time to fix space problems, to HSM errors, to you name it. Also, in section Ron gets into, and that we'll focus in on this particular session about a little bit more, is securing and recovering your business data so that you could quickly identify critical data, track and validate the currency of your backups, recover quickly if there are any type of problems and compliance issues that you might end up having to deal with. And last but not least, again, just really helping in terms of productivity through the integration of all the different IBM Tivoli storage solutions that we have out there. So let's go on to slide 4. This particular slide, if you'll notice, the red boxes in the middle really are System Z storage functions that typically we look at as being part of the operating system, but not really, because although you see the first red box with DFP there, or DFSMS DFP, also we're including things such as HSM, DFDSS, RMM for tape, and as well as global mirroring. But what we want to focus on is really the boxes that you see in the green. So let's start with the boxes on the left-hand side of the chart that is on slide 4. What you'll see are some very key System Z storage management solutions, starting with things such as Omegamon XE for storage, which provide you a wide breadth of information on just storage itself, along with things such as the IBM Tivoli Advanced Reporting for DFSMS HSM. We'll talk a little bit about that We'll touch on a little bit of all of these. The next one being the IBM Tivoli Advanced Audit for HSM product, and also the IBM Tivoli Advanced Catalog Management product. On the right-hand side, you can see that we have some other items that, or other offerings that we are showing you here, such as the IBM Tivoli Allocation Optimizer product, the IBM Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery product, which is what we'll focus in today on. But also, we do have offerings such as the IBM Tivoli Tape Optimizer and the IBM Tivoli Automated Tape Allocation Manager. So there is a full set of Z storage management solutions that we do have, and they do integrate, and we'll get a little bit into that. So on to slide five. Slide five, what we're doing is we're really showing you here that the integration with a lot of these products have to do with something called the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or the user interface. This particular user interface is being adopted by a lot of these products, and we'll continue in the future to keep TEP enabling more and more of these products so that you can get a very synergistic user interface where you could do your Z storage management and integrate out into other areas such as the other Megamons, TBSM, even SA and so forth, because they all utilize the TEP interface. The TEP interface really is a powerful web interface. It's a robust tool that allows you to do some very, as mentioned earlier, some very precise alerts, providing certain type of automated responses to certain type of things. Helps you basically standardize the toolkit that we're talking about today, which is our storage toolkit set, across the board to act as one single product. The OmegaMon XC for storage on the right, on the left-hand side is TEP enabled. You see all these products that are on the blue section. They are all TEP enabled, such as the OmegaMon XC for Tivoli on storage, the Tivoli Advanced Catalog Management product, Tivoli Advanced Audit for HSM, Tivoli Allocation Optimizer, and Tivoli Advanced Reporting for HSM. These are all TEP-enabled. And as you can see, we're indicating that the Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery product will also be TEP-enabled in the future. So let's go on to slide six. This is just a graphical representation of what happens when a product is TEP-enabled. In the upper left-hand side, what you might be doing is looking at OmegaMon XE for storage, looking at some basic catalog structure information. I want to get some more detailed information. I can do something called a dynamic workspace link that will link me directly from OmegaMon XE into a workspace of the Advanced Catalog Management product, which looks and feels and acts just like the OmegaMon XE product. I can go ahead and, in that particular case, get some very detailed information about the catalog and see what's going on. And then I can then fix the problem in there and then link back to OmegaMon XE, basically, so that I could then see overall how things have helped here. So when you're talking about something that's TEP enablement, you can see the synergy that comes along with having things such as other tools being able to be navigated to seamlessly. Again, it allows us to leverage multiple capabilities coming from all these different products, and you can launch into this interface with nothing more than a dynamic workspace link. On to slide seven. This is just a list, and I had mentioned these particular products earlier, so I'll just touch on them very quickly. But the first product that we're talking about here is the OmegaMon XE for storage product. And that particular product has a wide breadth of storage management capabilities, from being able to look at space, performance of volumes, all the way down to the data set level. We also provide information on things such as your offline storage. And some high-level DFHSM activities, as well as we have this thing called the toolkit now that allows you basically from the product to be able to do things such as HSM and DFDSS commands. In the future, you're going to see this particular capability being expanded tremendously. The next product is the Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery product. I won't spend much time on this because Ron will have a huge section in the back that he'll go into details with in that area. But the product after that is the Advanced Catalog Management product, which allows you basically to ensure some of the integrity of your ICF catalogs, but also be able to do certain things such as fix catalogs. If you ever had a catalog problem, you know how critical it is in order to rectify the problem and get things moving very quickly again. Next product is Advanced Reporting for DFSMS HSM, and what that product will be able to do is provide you some very in-depth detail about what HSM has been doing. If you want to take a look at last night's maintenance run, make sure everything is okay, but not only that, take a look at the logs and a lot of the other detailed information that a storage management person would want to know when it comes to HSM. The next offering is something called Advanced Audit for DFSMS HSM, and that particular product actually does do audits to HSM, and not only do audits to HSM, but can very quickly, if you've ever had to repair HSM because of some type of error problem, you know how painful it could be and how long it can take in terms of fixing those type of problems, and even how long it takes to run an audit. This particular offering can quickly reduce the amount of time that it takes for you to do things such as that. The next offering is the Allocation Optimizer. If you've ever had any type of X37 ABAND, this particular product will allow you to avoid that type of problem. The other two products are the Automated Tape Allocation Manager product, which allows you to share your tape resources across SysPlexes so that you could maximize your investment and really maximize the resource, your tape resources. And finally, the Tape Optimizer product, which is allowing you to really stack tapes together again so that you could maximize the efficiency of the cartridges that you're using. So let's go on to slide 8. Slide 8, we wanted to just show you that there are a lot of other additional systems e storage management solutions out there, such as the IBM Tivoli Output Manager, which really captures and distributes enterprise data for you. Also, the IBM Tape Manager for ZVM does what it says, manages tape and device management in the VM world. The IBM Backup and Restore Manager for ZVM, as well as the Archive Manager for ZVM. So let's go on to slide 9. Slide 9 is giving you an idea, hopefully, of what we want to be doing in the future as far as taking the IBM storage management products that we're talking about now and other ones that we haven't even talked about in here. But if you look in the lower left-hand side, you can see where it says Unified Systems eStorage Portfolio. And you can see that happening because of what I just discussed with TEP enablement of all these other products. We'll start advancing, moving forward, and integrating Systems E and open storage management by leveraging things such as our CCMDB, Change and Control Management Database, also being able to provide end-to-end type of reporting. And then further along the road, as we start going marching down that road, we'll start expanding the storage management capabilities using the IBM service management solutions, things like process managers and so forth that will be able to assist you and do storage management at an enterprise level and allowing you basically to leverage, in some cases, the disciplines that you've learned in the Systems E world out into your open systems. So that's a brief tour, basically, of where we are. Our vision for moving forward in the future is with storage management coming from IBM Tivoli. And with that, I'd like to now hand over the session to Ron, and Ron will take you through the IBM Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery for COS. Ron?
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. Slide 10, please. I'm going to discuss the functional overview of the IBM Tivoli Advanced Backup and Recovery for the OS product. Next slide. Basically, the functional components of the Advanced Backup and Recovery product are listed there. The Automated Critical Data Identification function, ACDI, is used to identify critical data at the application level, doing so using a real-time monitor that will monitor the application jobs associated with specific applications. As a result, it will build a critical dataset name list based on the datasets used by the application jobs. The next component is critical backup tracking and inventory. It is a function that will track utility backups, mainframe utility backups, and inventory those backups such that you have a centralized repository containing an inventory of all the data set backups being taken within your environment. Having that inventory, you can easily search that inventory to locate all backups for specific data sets or groups of data sets. And then once you've located the backups that you are searching for, you can dynamically build the restore jobs. So using this tool, you can get your arms around all of the backups being taken in your shop and have easy access to their location, and then dynamically restore jobs and submit those jobs, restoring the data. The next major component is the ABARS Manager, which is a front end and a back end to the DFHSM ABARS function. For those of you using the ABARS function without additional tools, you know it's a very painful experience without having some software to better use the ABARS function. This the ABARS Manager monitors all of the ABARS activity and then also inventories the results such that when you want to recover data, you have all of the information in the inventory that would be needed to restore the data from the ABARS backups. The ABARS Manager also extends the capability of ABARS by providing an incremental ABARS backup function such that if you have applications that reference a lot of data on a regular basis, but don't change a large amount of that data, you could reduce the backup requirements by only backing up the changed data throughout the week. There's also a function to synchronize your ICF catalogs with your DASD and tape environment at a recovery site, such that your catalogs represent what's truly available to your applications. Next slide, slide 12. Now I'll go into a little more detail on the automated critical data identification function. It's as I mentioned before, it's a way to identify critical data based on the applications that are actually executing in your environment. It's an automated approach, which is very key since manual development of critical data set lists is both labor intensive and prone to error, and also becomes quickly outdated once an application is changed. Using ACDI, you can identify the critical application data dynamically as the applications run, and you can then build a critical data set name list such that that list can be passed to a backup process. Since it's an automated approach and a real-time approach, anytime the application changes, you will detect the changes with respect to the data sets such that the critical data set list is built dynamically and accurately. That's all done using a process called the Real-Time Selection Process, RSP, which is a start-at-task that executes on each cell par that runs the application jobs. The RSP started task examines the JCL of the data for the application jobs and also examines the SMF data created as the jobs run. This enables RSP to determine which data sets are being used by the application jobs. These jobs are tracked based on job names. So for specific applications, you would have specific job names that represented that application. When those jobs execute, the started task, RSP, will detect the fact that they are executing and also examine the JCL and the SMF data to determine which data is being used by the specific that specific application job. So therefore, you can track data based on various cycles, daily cycles, weeklies, monthlies, quarterlies, and annual. Slide 12, please. 13, sorry. Continuing on with ACDI, the automated JCL capture piece of RSP has those attributes you see listed there. It uses a standard JCL exit, the IF-UJI exit, to view the JCL as the job is being executed. It can also, since it does view the JCL, it can also see data sets required in steps that aren't necessarily executed every time the job runs, which might be required in a recovery situation, a DR situation. It can also detect data sets not opened by the program, since it's looking at the JCL. It can also determine which libraries comprise a concatenated set, so they also get identified. And if the jobs are executing cataloged procedures, the RSP gets a look at the JCL after the procedures have been expanded and the symbolic parameters supplied. On the SMF side of RSP, RSP is intercepting the SMF records for those jobs that are being tracked and looks at basically open SMF records and records that reflect deletion or renaming of data sets. Again, it uses another standard IBM exit, IEFU83. Slide 14. As RSP is tracking the application jobs, it is recording the activity, the data sets referenced or used by the application jobs, and writing that information to the ACDI database. At some point in time, you'll want to build a list of critical data sets, and that is done as part of the ACDI process and supports multiple formats. The most prevalent use is with an ABARS format, where it will create a selection data set containing the list of all the critical data sets in an ABARS input format. You could also create that selection data set in a DSS format if you're using DSS to provide the backup process. Or you can create just a single list of critical data sets that you can manipulate using other tools. Now, this critical data set list is generated by using the data detected by RSP and is built typically at the end of an application cycle. So this critical data set list is rebuilt every time the cycle is completed. So if you had a daily application, you would regenerate this critical list daily at the end of the application, after the last job is typically executed for that application. So every time the application executes, RSP will be monitoring the jobs within that application and identifying the data being used by the application, recording that, and then ultimately building a new critical data set list to feed into the backup process. So As a result, there is no need to manually update your critical data set list whenever you change your application. The RSP started task will monitor that job and detect the changes or detect new jobs added to the application. Next slide. The method for tracking the application is based on the jobs associated with an application, the jobs that comprise an application. To do that, to identify those jobs, you need to perform a process called job collection, which is part of the ACDI process using ISPF panels. Those job names can be determined one of two ways. The first is to use the scheduling system that is currently used in your environment. A batch utility job is submitted from the ACDI panels that will run against the scheduler database and produce a report that is then processed to identify the jobs associated with specific applications. The other approach is to manually create a list of jobs or job name masks such that those jobs are then considered to be the components of the application. The next bullet is referencing the end of the application. Once RSP is tracking the jobs, you've identified the jobs, and RSP is now tracking those jobs, then at some point in time, the application cycle ends, and it is the point in time at which the backup should be performed. So that's something we call application end, and it is signaled by a batch job called apple end. This batch job is typically installed in the production job stream after the last application job, triggered by the last application job. When apple end executes, it will take the JCL and SMF data collected by RSP and recorded in the ACDI database and massage that data and determine which data sets should be contained in the critical data set list. It'll analyze filters. We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. And it'll also then build that critical data set list in the format requested, ABARs, DSS, et cetera. And then the next step is usually to trigger the execution of the backup job. So what we usually want to do is to back up the data as soon as possible after the application ends, such that we get a synchronized set of data that has not changed since the application end. At that point, in other words, a recovery point to go forward. Next slide, 16. The filters are something you can implement based on to modify the data that is being seen by RSP, modified in such that they are either added to the critical list or not. You can specifically include critical data, or you can specifically exclude critical data. You might want to exclude data that resides on system volumes or mirrored volumes, other types of criteria, such that they are, even though they are referenced by the application jobs, they really are not candidates for an application backup, because they would be handled by some other process like the system restore or system build. You can also include data sets that are not regularly or even used at all by an application. Data sets that might be tools for recovery or tools for repair, things that aren't part of the production process, but would certainly be needed at a recovery site. There are three levels of filters. The universal filter applies to every application being tracked by RSP or by ACDI. And using that same example, that might be all sys1.asterisk data set names. You may not want to consider them critical within the application backup, because they are going to be restored by the systems group, and you wouldn't want them being restored by application backups since they might be regressing the data at that point. Also have global filters that are filters, similar filters, but used by multiple applications. Probably not all, or they would be a universal filter. So by a high number of the applications, you might have global filters that would apply to them. For example, there you might exclude data sets that are on mirrored volumes because they would not be restored. And then finally, a local filter. And that's a filter that applies to a specific application, unique to that specific application. Slide 17. Here's a pictorial view of what I just described, ACDI. And in the upper left, you can see the process you would follow. Initially, you would define an application to ACDI, and then define the application attributes, such as which format would you like the critical data set list to be in, ABARS, DSS, etc., the name of the application, and other attributes. The next step is to define the jobs that will be associated with that application. That's called job collection. And we talked about that. You can scan the scheduler database to identify the jobs, perhaps based on an anchor job or two, or multiple anchor jobs. Or you can hard code those job names to reflect the application. Then the next step is for the RSP to monitor those jobs defined and capture the JCL and FMF data as the jobs are running and write that information to the ACDI database as the jobs are running. At some point when the application ends, then we would perform the Apple End process, which would take all of that information in the ACDI database, the data sets being used by the application job, and build a critical data set list called the selection data set, the SDS. And you see down along the bottom, RSP is monitoring that application activity for its duration, and then at some point, AppLand will take the information that RSP has been collecting and build a critical data set list. Slide 18. So in summary, ACDI eliminates the costs associated with its building and maintaining a critical data set list. If you've ever performed manual detection of critical data, the tasks are usually labor-intensive, scanning JCL libraries, identifying critical data sets, and then building that list. And then if any application changes are made where new data sets are added, for old data sets that are no longer used, you have to manually update that critical data set list. Using ACDI, this can all be done for you dynamically without any additional work. As a result, you can reduce the risk of missing critical data. For example, you may see that some of the critical data is not being mirrored based on ACDI information. And then you can take corrective action, get those data sets on mirrored volumes. Now you might also be missing critical data. Typically when ACDI is first installed and run and the critical data set list is generated and then compared to what was being used by the manual build process, there are a number of data sets that were not in the manually built list but are in the dynamically built list created by RSP and AppLamp. Also, as applications change, and they always do, you can have new jobs added to the critical application. You can have jobs removed. You have new data sets added, data sets removed. All those things get dynamically updated using ACDI. And then on the side of reporting, since we generate a critical data set list based on the application, we now have a list of critical data sets that are required by the critical application. And part of the SOX and other government regulations require critical data set identification and proof of backup. So using ACDI, we can do the front-end piece. We can automate the identification of critical data and perform that accurately. And then linking together with the critical backup tracking inventory function of the AVR, we can use reporting to prove that those critical data sets are being backed up. Slide 19. Now, moving on to the critical backup tracking inventory function. As I mentioned before, this is a function that will monitor the mainframe backups that are being executed in your environment and track them and inventory the results of the backups such that you have a centralized repository for all of that backup information. So you can track all of the backups, copies for specific data. You can track up all the, you can track the backup for different volumes, etc. Since the backups can be performed by multiple procedures, you have an option here of tracking some or all of those procedures. An example of the procedure would be full volume dumps, the generally used utility backups, and other backups. You can also determine whether or not multiple applications are backing up the same data sets. And this can be important for a number of reasons. One is if you're going to restore at a DR site, you want to be careful not to regress data by restoring the same data set from different applications in the wrong order. There's some assistance there with the ABARS manager. You can also reduce your resource requirements if you're creating redundant backups. You may be backing up the same data set using 10 or 15 different jobs, and perhaps you can save some resources by reducing that. Another major function of the CBTI function is the inventory reporting. We can identify the critical data in the application based on the ACDI critical data set list, and then we can compare that to the backup inventory and prove that the critical data has a backup. We can also make a similar run identifying critical data sets that have not been backed up. With this information, you can provide an alert such that you can correct the situation and make sure that that data is getting backed up. We can also view the backups based on, rather determine whether or not data is backed up for data that resides on specific DASD volumes or storage groups. We can also take a look at data sets cataloged in specific catalogs and determine whether or not that data is backed up, or just at purely the high-level qualifier level, identify all data that is cataloged using a specific high-level qualifier, and then determine which data is not backed up. Slide 20. So as an overview of the functionality of CBTI, it intercepts and tracks the backups, and it does all of this without changing the JCL in the backup jobs. So it's a front-end intercept of the backup jobs. This will provide visibility to all of the backups taken in your mainframe environment, which can extend to the backups taken by DFHSM. That would be incremental or auto-dump backups. In addition to tracking the backups, we can also provide very powerful recovery support. You can recover individual data sets from backups, or you can recover multiple data sets in a single path. We can also restore data at the application level based on application backup jobs. And the restore process is performed by CBTI dynamically generating the restore job. So when you view the backup inventory and determine which data you want to restore, then the next step is to generate the restore job, which is done dynamically by CBTI, and then submit the job. There's also extensive reporting through CBTI on the backup inventory. Slide 20. Here is a list of the data movers we support for tracking. So we track full volume dumps, physical dumps, logical dumps, by DSS and FDR, repro and export of VidCams, Jenners. You can read the list there, HSM, incrementals, catalog recovery plus, advanced catalog management, and of course the ABARS manager backups. 22. So tracking the backups is a seamless process. It's not anything that needs to be changed in the JCL. It's done by a started task that runs on the systems that run the backups. And as I mentioned, it's triggered by matching the job names. We have the backup job names are registered along with the utility program names to be tracked. So you specify the job names and the utility names to be tracked, and that's done through an ISPF panel within CBTI. So as the jobs are intercepted when they're executing, the started task will take a look at the results and then record the results in the inventory data set such that it's available for viewing and recovery. So in the inventory itself, we keep the backup information for full volume dumps that were requested to be tracked, for the utilities that were requested to be tracked, ABARS manager backups, and the HSM incremental and auto dump inventory. This can be used for both local and off-site disaster recovery. And the backups are tracked. Multiple backups. You could have a weekly dump, and you can determine how many versions you'd like to retain in the inventory. 23, please. For each data set that's backed up, we capture specific information. You can see it's listed there. The information about the backups, the job name that performed the backup, the date and the time, the data set's backed up, the size of each data set, and all of the information you want to know about a data set, the DSAB and catalog information. 24. For recovery, the first step would be to locate the backups for a specific data set, and you can choose from volume backups, or data set names for backups, or the jobs performing the backups. And you could restore the data, either all of the data that was backed up, for example, a full volume restore, or individual data sets from the full volume dump. The JCL, as I mentioned, is automatically built by CBTI. And that enables you then to restore any data set that you've tracked the backups anytime and anywhere you'd like. 25. And here is a list of all of the various reports that you have available through CBTI. The overlap by data set report is a report that will identify all of the data sets that are being backed up by more than one process, which means more than one job, or by utilities and full volume, utilities and HSM, utilities and ABARs, or any combination of those. Very useful for preventing regression at the DR site, and also for perhaps reducing resource requirements for your backup process. The full volume dump list is a list of all of the volumes that have full volume dumps tracked, all the versions of the full volume dumps, and go directly to the full volume dump inventory using that. what isn't backed up. This is a report that lets you determine which data sets are not backed up based on a DASI volume serial, for example, or all of the data sets in the catalog, or based on high-level qualifiers or any data set name pattern. The next two reports, the critical in ACDI and no backup and with backup. The no backup report uses the ACDI critical data set list built by RSP and AppleEnd and compares it to the backup inventory and identifies any of those critical data sets that do not have a tracked backup. And that's something you can use to determine to identify data that should be backed up that is not currently being backed up. The next one is the critical data set list from ACDI, comparing to the backup inventory and then proving that your critical data has backup. So that's something you would use for compliance or audit reporting. And then a tape pull report to if you were going to restore specific data, which tapes would you need, and build that report. 26 ways. The overlap reports, which I mentioned, you can identify those data sets backed up by multiple jobs and processes, and you can see the four sources of backup inventory that you can search. You search them individually or collectively. And it permits you to identify redundant backups. What isn't backed up report? I mentioned that. It's a way to identify critical data that really should be getting backups. And the reason it shows up in this report may be that the backups are being performed but not being tracked, or perhaps they're not being backed up. So you can investigate and determine why the data shows up in that report when you know it should be backed up. Slide 27. I mentioned those two reports, the critical and critical produced by ACDI and not being backed up, and then the critical in the ACDI and is in fact being backed up. Those two reports are used in conjunction with the ACDI product and CBDI. 28. If you're looking at the HSM backup inventory and would like to recover data from that inventory, the CBDI panels help you with the HRecover command, the HSM HRecover command. And this allows you to search the backup control data set of HSM to locate any incremental backups or backups created specifically incremental backups, and then select the backup generation you would like to use for the restore, and then submit the HRecover command without having to build the syntax. So the product builds the HRecover syntax, and it is then submitted, and the HRecover process is performed by DFHSM. You can also perform some other advanced functions if you have storage administrator authority, such as recovering the data to a non-SMS volume, other options. We can also have visibility into the HSM auto dump inventory, which is a full volume dump process performed by HSM. And you can restore either individual data sets from those dumps or full volume dumps. So to summarize the CBTI functions, it is an intercept process that tracks the utility backups in the mainframe environment without changing any of the JCL for the backup jobs. It provides you the capability of recovering data either locally or remotely, and it also provides the backup inventory in one centralized database, the AVR information data set. It gives you high-speed search capabilities to locate the backups for specific data sets or groups of data sets and perform a selective restore based on the backup inventory very easily without creating any JCL. It automatically creates the JCL to do the restores. You can also use to be identify redundancy in your backup inventory and perhaps reduce the amount of tape used for backup, perhaps reduce CPU time required for use by backups that are really unnecessary. Then the other reporting, identifying what is not backed up such that you can improve your thoroughness with respect to backing up the critical data. Make sure you're not missing backups for any of your critical data. And also prove that you are backing up your critical data for compliance or audit reasons. 30. The next major function of ABR is ABAR's manager, which I mentioned before is sort of a front-end, back-end to native ABARs. It gives you a centralized view of what's been backed up, what's been recovered by tracking the ABAR's backups and recoveries, and then also creating information in the inventory database that represents those backups and recoveries, such as which data sets have been backed up, how big are the data sets, what are the data set attributes, when were they backed up, how were they backed up by ABARs. So this is specifically for ABARs. It's another component of the Advanced Backup and Recovery product. And if you've used native ABARs, you know it's difficult to manage the inventory for what has been backed up throughout the week or the month. So it's something very, very useful for those that are either contemplating using ABARs or already using ABARs. The other key function of the ABARs manager is the extensions to the ABARs functionality. With ABARs manager, you can do a true incremental backup using ABARs, which is not something you can do with native ABARs. There's also reporting on all of the ABARs activity, backups and recoveries, and a search facility such that you can search all of the ABARs backups and locate data sets for recovery, or you can retire entire applications worth of data, all without building JCL right from the panels. Next, 31. So ABARs manager, for the front-end part of the process, the ABARs manager does work before giving the control to native ABARs to perform the actual data movement and data backup. And it's basically done through a batch job generated from the ABARs manager panels. This batch job will take a look at the selection data set that is to be passed to ABARs containing the list of critical data sets. The data set names in that list can be removed if they're uncataloged, for example, or they can be moved. They can be removed if you're doing an incremental backup for ABARs and the data sets have not changed. You can also change the backup category. You can move data set names from include lists or allocate lists or company lists based on your requirements, which is something you can do with respect to customization. Then ultimately, it will submit the ABARs command to perform the aggregate backup or aggregate recover, and then that will be performed by ABARs. On the back end, after ABARs has completed the data backup or data recovery, the ABARs manager will inspect the results of that process and record those results in the inventory data set. It will look at the ABARs activity logs to identify the data sets backed up, the ABARs backup tapes written to other pieces of information, and record all of that information in the ABARs manager inventory data set. Next slide. Here's a pictorial of where how ABAR's manager fits in the picture. You can see from the left we have a list of critical data sets that are input. Those are the data sets we want to be backed up by ABARs. And that list can be generated by ACDI or other methods. The ABARs manager will take a look at that list of critical data sets and do modifications if desired, if specified in when you do this, when you set up the application for the backup. Then it will give control to ABARs, which will do the actual data backup from DASD or migration or user tape, and then write it to ABARs tapes. And all of this information is then collected when the control is given back to ABARs manager and written to the online inventory, which can be used for data set searching and reporting. Hey, 33. So the backup management piece of ABARs manager is comprised of maintaining the inventory, first of all, of the backups. You can specify how many generations to be retained in the inventory, so you can roll them off like a generation data group, the backups being rolled off based on being exceeding a maximum number. It also records all of the information about the data sets backed up by ABARs, the names of the data sets, the sizes, attributes, etc. And as a result, you can reduce ABARs backup failures. If ABARs receives a request to back up a data set that is no longer cataloged, the backup will fail. So that's the front-end work done by ABARs manager reduces those types of failures. We also have reporting where you can quantify the space requirements at the DR site for recovering the applications. You can do it for selected applications to determine how much space is needed, and space being for online DASD migration and the number of user tapes required. The other part of the backup management is to be able to view the results of all the ABARs activity, and you can do that through the ISPS panels. You can look at information about all of the aggregates that were backed up or recovered, or specific aggregates. You can also look at the information about the backups, like the contents of the activity logs, the selection data sets, any error messages that were produced during the process, and other statistical information. 34, please. On the recovery management side of it, you can submit the recovery jobs directly from the panels. Again, you can search for the application and determine which ABARs backup to use for recovery. You can, this also enables you to prioritize the application recoveries based on application importance. You don't have to wait till all of the data is restored to start running your application. Using ABARs Manager, you can restore the data for your most important applications initially, get those applications up and running, and then continue to recover other applications in the background. The online inventory does have all the generations listed, and you can choose which ones you want to recover, from which generation you want to recover. It will also record the information about the recovery, which data sets recovered, the sizes, et cetera, the return codes, and this might be useful as a post-mortem for a DR exercise to see which data was recovered, which applications failed recoveries, perhaps information you could use to make it smoother for the next test. Also, if you're recovering data and the recovery fails, you can restart them directly from the recoveries, directly from the panels, by editing the conflict restart data sets and then reissuing the recover command. And then ABARs will recover starting where it left off and not duplicate the recoveries. If you want to search for recovered data, you can do it by name or mask. You can also locate all of the backups for specific names and also view the results directly from the inventory of the recovery. You can look at the activity logs and error messages that were produced during the recovery. Slide 35. The ABARS incremental backup function is an extension to native ABARS. As I mentioned before, it's a true incremental backup that would reduce the amount of data you're backing up in total if you are not backing up large unchanged data sets on a daily basis. This will reduce the time required to do the backups, which could increase your application availability. This is done by a started task that monitors the application data activity. It intercepts SMF data and then determines whether or not that data is being changed. If it is being changed, then it will record that fact such that that data set has been changed for the application. Does it not use the change flag in the DSCB? It actually uses SMF data. So as a result, when your selection data set is produced and the ABARS manager front end routine gets control, it will look at the changed data information and determine whether or not to retain data sets in that selection data set. So it's an incremental backup and the data set has not been changed since the base backup was taken, then it will discard that name from the selection data set before passing it to DFHSM. So as a scenario for something like that, you might take the base backup for an application on Monday. In that case, it would back up all of the critical data that was identified by CBTI. And then CBTI would generate another list on Tuesday through Friday, and that list would be used and compared to the change activity to determine which data sets had really been changed, and only those would remain in that selection data set being passed to HSM. On the recovery side, you can recover using that base and incremental backup with a single command. It will recover from both base and incrementals, and it will restore the data from the most recent backup only. So each data set will be restored from one time only, and it will use the most recent backup for that restore. Slide 36. Another major function of ABARS Manager is something called the Aggregate Load Balancer. This is a utility that will allow you to split up large aggregates. And by large, I mean selection data sets with names of data sets that are very large, or the sum is very large. You can also use the load balancer to split up aggregates based on whether they're DESI or tape, or their online data or migrated data. And this enables you to reduce the amount of data to be backed up by ABARS, and thereby reducing the amount of time to back up the data. For example, if you had a large 100 gigabyte data set, it might take a longer period of time than you want to have your application down, so you'd like to break it up into smaller pieces. So this will split up a large aggregate into multiple aggregates by copying the information from the initial selection data set produced by CBTI, and then splitting it into like-sized selection data sets to be passed to ABARS for backup. Slide 37. Here's a pictorial of that process. In this example, we have a large input selection data set that has data set names in it, the sum of 100 gigabytes, and we are going to split that into four selection data sets of 25 gigabytes each. So we've now reduced the amount of time to back up that application's data to around one-fourth of what it would have been. So if it took 4 hours to back up 100 gigabytes, you could reduce that to one hour by running those backups concurrently. 38. Another function of the ABARS manager is something called cat scrub, which is a catalog synchronization process that allows you to quickly synchronize the catalog at the DR site with the DASD that has been restored. So, and not all the DASD volumes are typically restored, but the catalogs point to data that resides on volumes not restored. So to get the catalogs accurately reflecting the DASD environment, you can run this process called cat scrub. And you can target just DASD volumes, or you can target migration and DASD or user tape, any of the above or any combination of those, and synchronize the catalog with what's actually restored or exists at the DR site. You can do it by specific catalog. It also has a simulate mode, so you can run this to see what would get changed, and then run it again for real. And it is it executes many times faster than Zipchem's utility to delete catalog entries. 39. On the reporting side of ABARS Manager, a number of comprehensive reports. We can report on the amount of space required at the recovery site to recover an application. Build tape pull lists, again, of all the ABARS tapes that need to be sent off-site for a DR exercise. We can also identify overlaps, those data sets that are backed up by more than one ABARS application. And we can also view information about all of the backups that were taken for applications, all the recoveries that were done. We can also take a look at the errors recorded during backups or recoveries. And, again, identify multiple applications that are backing up the same data. Slide 40. So, an overview of our summary of the ABARS manager process or a function. It provides a local and a disaster recovery backup recovery support. Some shops duplex the backups, the ABARS backups, such that they can send one off-site and keep one on-site for local recoveries. And all of this information is inventoried in an inventory data set, the backup, the ABARS backups, so it's searchable, and data can be easily restored from that inventory. You can also use it to identify the overlaps or the multiple copies of application data sets that are being backed up. And we also have a facility to prevent down-leveling of data being restored at the DR site using the ABARS manager process. Using incremental backup, you can reduce the amount of time required to take the backup on a daily basis. You can also split up those large applications to reduce the backup time required and therefore give you more availability of your application. You can also use it to consolidate those smaller applications into a single backup, such that you can reduce the tape usage for the backups. So the advanced backup and recovery product from IBM Tivoli has those major components: the automated critical data set identification, which is used to dynamically identify the critical data based on application job names, and then subsequently build that critical data set, the name list, that will be used for the backup process. The CBTI is used to track all of your mainframe backups based on utility job names. Gives you a centralized inventory that you can search to locate those backups and quickly restore data based on the version that is most appropriate for that restore. It also has that compliance reporting capability when it's connected with ACDI. ABARS Manager is used to enhance the ABARS usage. It's very difficult to use ABARs, native ABARs, for a lot of applications without having a tool, a software tool like this to manage that ABARs inventory, where we have recorded all the ABARs backup and recovery activities. It also has the incremental ABARs function to reduce the amount of time required to back up large applications. The aggregate load balancer function to split up the large applications to get concurrent backup processing, and the cat scrub to synchronize the user catalogs and the DASD and tape and migration inventory at the recovery site. And then also comprehensive reporting is also provided. So that's the end of this session. I'd like to now turn it back to the operator. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we would like to take your questions. If you have a question today, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, everyone, it's star 1 if you have a question. We'll pause for just a moment. And, gentlemen, there appear to be no questions, so I'll turn the conference back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. This is Kevin Hosozawa, and again, I'd just like to thank everybody for spending the time to listen to our session today, and hopefully it has piqued your interest in the benefits that the IBM Tivoli Z-Storage Management products can provide for you. So thank you again.
And everyone, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and have a great day.